So, to Sean's credit, Sean was very frustrated last week in Sean's frustrated way, right? So let's go back to that question of what the Gemara says. Gemara is a very funny halacha, right? That what's the halacha that if there are two kohanim, so the person calling up would say kohanim, but if it's one kohen, so then there's nothing to say, right? So it turns out if you read these sources I sent you, right? It turns out what? It turns out the Torah quotes this Rabbeinu Peretz, who wants to say that if there's one Kohen, if there's only one Kohen, he would not duchen at all. There's a reason why I brought that in, is we have to define it, but I brought that in because Sean opened up a door there, because Sean wanted to, his svara was that somehow two Kohanim is superior to one. And I found that to be nauseating, because it doesn't make any sense. Like, why would that be? Because you see, the Kohen would still duchen, right? So it's hard to imagine why it'd be superior. So the way I wanted to learn was that really just a din that they were koveya, it is part of, let's say, the tefillah or whatever, or birkas kohanim, meaning the language becomes only one way to say it, and anything other than that is a deviation from the language. But that's not, I don't think that would work if you go down Sean's road. See, Sean's road to say, Sean, your first step would make sense if you maintained that one kohen could not duchen. Now, I'm not going to get into like the, there's a lot of bizarre consequences of that position, but I'm just curious, how would you define that? Because he wants, right, the Torah says, he says, that's what you learn from Amor Lahem, right? Kazar ben Parashim, Ein Sham Ela Echad, Eino Over, Yalfinale Amor Lahem, Demashma Dafkal Rabim. Amazing shot. So he says that the Tzivu is given to who? To Rabim. So what is that? What's that position? What's the Machlokas? Yeah. I think the way Yosef is going, though, sounds like kind of like what you would say. You would say but again, you got to be careful, because if you say that, Yosef is going to suggest that you're calling up the Shevet or the institution, whatever, something like that. Some universal abstraction from the individual, right? Fine. But then if that's true, according to what you're saying, then how is the mitzvah given? There's am I chayiv, think about this, Yosef, apply what you just said to me, or the Amalek Kohen here. Am I chayiv, is the chayiv on me to do Berakas Kohanim? Again, okay, Yosef, let's say what you said and apply to Minyan. I'm in Minyan, right? It's what it called. I'm the only Kohen there. So what's, according to you, what happens in that moment? Is it that I'm chayiv, but there's a patur? Or is it the chayiv is never chal on me?
I guess chayiv is never chal.
It sounds that way. But that's crazy. Yeah. So how does it work? In other words, okay, fine. Let's do the other case. There's 10 Kohanim, okay? Sean's davening for the Tzibur. Beautiful. Another Rosh Hashanah davening. And he calls out Kohanim. Right? Now what?
Each individual Kohen.
Okay, wait a second. So according to you, but one second. Before he says, be careful. Because before he says Kohanim, if I'm part of a group of Kohanim in the Minyan, I'm already chayav to duchen. How do I know that? Because let's say you didn't call Kohanim. And I went up there and started duchening. Exactly. So you can't say the chayav is created through him saying Kohanim. So it's just a prompt.
So the chayav exists on the block, I say.
In other words, it's not that two are better than one, right? It's that the chayav is never chal on an individual coin. But then what's the mechanism of mechayav? That's what's so weird. In other words, it's a funny idea to suggest that it was again like I think what Yosef was saying is correct. Like if there was one coin in the minion, you would say there's no chiyuv to duchen at all. There's no chiyuv berakas kohanim to speak of. Or lahem sounds like the initial obligation was never given to individual kohanim. It was given to like the shevet. The shevet must duchen. You know, so the minimum shear of shevet is two kohanim. But that would imply that the chiyuv is not chal on me. Yuri, take it away. Ilam achas amabez. Okay. All right, so there is a gadata here. I'm Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Minayin shekodesh baruch hu misavel berakas kohanim. Visamu. Bani avarachem, right? Meaning, what's the emphasis there? Right. Okay. Yeah. Shenemar. Vavarcham v'recha, right? So what's Vavarcham v'recha referring to, by the way?
I will bless you with my blessing.
But not from, it's not to do with Birkas Kohanim. Where's Vavarcham v'recha? Yeah, by Avram. So God says to Avram, I will bless, God says to Avram, anyone who will bless the Jewish people, I will bless them. So there's some precedent for that, okay? Fine, but at least that agata, I don't know, we can define the agata if you want, but at least that one I can understand from the perspective of what's it called, there could be a chashash that the Kohanim will be excluded from the bracha. In other words, they're the one. Remember, this bracha contains all these important ideas of Ashkacha, of divine providence, okay? So So it's actually a genuine chashash, so to speak, that the Kohanim wouldn't be included, because what are they doing? They're the conduit. So you could either argue they're excluded from the bracha, or that there's some other bracha that exists for them, but not this bracha. That's not crazy. Or in other words, how could the UPS delivery guy benefit from the package, right? So Romeo Shua ben Levi Kol Kohen. Okay, so imagine a kolak kohanim and a kohen decides not to go up. But if you kolak kohanim, right, and the guy doesn't come up, right, and the kohen doesn't come up, so the Gemara says he's over b'shlosha aseh. He violates or is mevatel three positive commandments. Okay, is one, two, v'samu et shmi. I know. Okay, fine. Now Rav Amar. Very funny, right? So Rav comes along and has on the surface, halakhically sensible, but then almost weird perspective. He says, no. He says, if you call Kohanim and the coin didn't go up, what's the chashash going to be? He's Ben Chalutza, which means what? Or Ben Grusha? Right. So if he didn't go up, you'll suspect that's the case, and therefore what? Yeah, you'll impugn his status as being a coin, okay? Now, of course, the Gemara senses our problem because this sounds like a machlokas. The Gemara says, no, v'lo pligi. Let me just finish. V'lo pligi. This is very difficult. Yeah. What does that mean? What's prakim here mean? Times, certain times. Yeah, Rashi. Look at Rashi. Right, prakim, b'chag mo'adim, right? All right, so what does that mean? So what would he do? So during the Chag game, he'd always go up to Duchen, right? So he just went Duchen during the week, all right? He had a premonition of the terrible Ashkenazi practice of not Duchening outside of Eretz Yisrael, but what would he do? He only Duchen during the Chag game, right? So if he only Duchen during the Chag game, what do we know about this guy? He's a Kasher Kohen. So the first statement in the Gemara is addressing him, saying that this guy's a bum because he's mevatel 3 months of saseh, but we know he's a kohen kasher. Okay, but let's say the guy didn't go up at all. The ha de lo salik prakim never goes up. Then the concern is he's a kohen pasul. So again, the question: there's one more variable the Gemara is adding here, just to get our facts down. So the Gemara is saying that there's two points the Gemara makes: a kohen who doesn't go up when he gets called up to duchen, either you're going to say he's mevatel 3 months of saseh, or you're going to say he's the problem is that there's a chashash that he's not going up to Duchen because he's a Pasul Kohen, right? Now, these two points have nothing to do with each other. So Gemara creates this other variable to tie them together, which is that if the Kohen does, let's go to Ashkenazi practice today outside Eretz Yisrael, if the Kohen only Duchens during the Chagim, right, we know he's a Kasher Kohen, so there's no Chashash that he's a Ben Grusha if he didn't go up during the week. Rather, by him not going up in the week, you see that he's a Mevatel Tzimut Sosase. But let's say he was a Kohen who never went up to Duchen. So then there's a chashash where he is a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, and it's questioning the integrity of his status as a Kohen. Isn't it strange, isn't it odd to find, what's this idea that a Kohen only duchens on the regalim? I know, now let's throw away our Ashkenazi bias, okay? One simple step is going to be, what's the function of, remember, there's pieces of the puzzle here, another piece here. And again, you like this because this shows like everything's transitioning. You like that theme, right? Okay. What did we just deal with before? We dealt with the prompt, okay? So now we're going to take the prompt itself and start really investigating it. We're going to take that idea of what the prompt is and expand it. Now let's understand. You would think the purpose of the prompt is to do what? What we had before, it's either it's koveya berkas kohanim or it's transitioning the tzibur to berkas kohanim, okay? Turns out there's another thing that's going on here. Obviously from the Gemara. There's something else the prompt does. What else does a prompt do? It's beautiful, but let's make it simple. In other words, what is the prompt doing? The prompt is the moment where, what's bothering Rav? Rav is going to say that the guy doesn't go up there, so a chashash will emerge, because part of the idea of the prompt is for the Kohen to now identify himself. The identity of the Kohen to everyone else is expressed through that prompt. For him going up, because once he's prompted to now go up, answer the call, get up there and duchen. Now, if he doesn't answer the call, he's not ascertaining his identity as a Kohen. Simple as that. Now, that's the case, right? Now comes the step. Now, what about regalim? What is it about the regalim that now the Gemara knows now that? Right. So it would seem like the flaw in this Kohen is that like he's playing to the crowd, right? That there's the first part of the Gemara is criticizing a Kohen who why is he duchen? He's duchen to play to the crowd because think about it, the Kohen bears a tremendous responsibility. His job is to be the transmitter of this bracha, right? So you can see it gets to their heads. I think the point is that by the regalim is the time, like you said, it's the time to shine. It's when his identity of Kohen, is at its height of being expressed, right? Maximum expressiveness of Kohen. But he's going to go ahead and do it, right? And he's going to only want to do it by the regalim because that's when he gets to really be identified in that role. So what does he care if he's in regular minyan? So now the Gemara says, "Rami Yeshua ben Levi." Okay, stop. That's a very important halacha at this point, which is I'm saying at this point in the Gemara, that's very, very important to know. A Kohen only has until the end of Ritzei. Okay, meaning that's why the idea is that. I know you guys have the problem here, right? You have to make sure that the Kohen is up there by the end of Ritzei. But look what happens. The Gemara says if he doesn't make it up there, he shouldn't go up at all. Why not? So the Gemara says, Shenemar, Vayisa Aaron es Yadav el Ha'am Vayivarchem. Keep going. Vayered. That's the next part of the Pasuk. Me'asot. So what did he do? He lifted up his arms to give it to the people and gave a bracha, and then went down from his avoda that he did. Okay, so malahalan. Okay, so his bracha was given when during avoda. So to today. Now it's not the perfect transition or analogy, but so to today, afkan bavoda. Okay. Well, what? Oh. Right, so that's what it sounds like at this point, even more so. It sounds like he doesn't have it until the end of Ritzei, rather when? But it would seem that way. Right? Okay. Let's keep going to the Gemara. Aini. Who were who? Thank you. So what would they do? Which means what? When? After he finished the bracha avoda, they would go up after Ritzei, basically, or after brachos avoda. Okay, so Gemara says, yeah, but one second, Rav Ami, Rav Asi. I love this. No. So what happened was, what did they do? So okay, so they sat like in the dining room. Okay, all right. So now you got Yudi's up there diving for the tzibur. Yudi says Ritzei, right? Now they're okay, the ragla. When they hear Ritzei, they start the walk to the front. But the problem is, since you say Ritzei very quickly, they don't get there until the end. So meaning that, how do you learn the first Gemara? As long as you're okay raglav, as long as you're demonstrating you're on the way to go up in Duchen, that's sufficient. So the process starts when you're... We'll define this, don't worry. Let's keep going.
The first guys did what? The first guys did that, or that
would
go to the second?
That's where, in other words, you have a stira, because the Gemara seems to indicate that you have to be up there by the time at the time of avoda, let's say. That's what it say, okay? Ravam and Rasi weren't up there at the time of avoda; they got the end. And if you want to take it literally, they got there by toshim chalachan elados, and at that point they got up there. Okay, how is that possible? Well, the Gemara says the reason why is they were okir raglav. As long as they're on their way up, right, then it's fine. Meaning, let's say you said Ritzei, and let's say I was standing over there and I didn't do anything. Okay, I just stood my feet together or just whatever, standing there. I didn't move at all. And then the time for Ritzei passed, then I can't do it. Then I can't go up anymore. But as long as I'm on my way up, right, even if I get there by the time Ritzei is over, by the time Birchas Avod is over, I can still get up there and duchen. Okay, just finish one more line. So mitzmalo. So you didn't have enough time to get there until he got the end of the bracha. Ugetani Rabbi Oshia. Right, so the first Gemara is where he wasn't Okir Raglav, right? Aval Okir es Raglav. Okay, so it sounds like we have a few things. Now we can finally define something here. So we have a few things to define, okay? And meaning that, okay, one issue is that what would you think on the surface before this drush comes along? You would think what? What would you think before this drush comes along? No. I would say, when does the Kohen have to be up there?
Right before they say Kohen.
Right. Right? In other words, why does it have to be, in other words, the prompt should be sufficient, right? Yudi says Kohanim, right? All right, so all the Kohanim run up to the front. You know what I mean? But it sounds like now, remember I told you about the prompt, now it sounds like they got to be up there, ready to go, right, at the time of the prompt. What's that? So now there's different prompts now. So the prompt of Kohanim isn't telling the Kohanim to go up to Duchen. The prompt of Kohanim is there once they're up there, now to say it's time to say the bracha, okay? So then if that's the case, what's the first prompt? Of what Ritzei. Ritzei is the initial prompt.
That's when they have to start walking.
Well, they wouldn't know that. No. You can't start walking until you get prompted to. So, we're now in a vote, Ritzei. Time to start walking up, okay?
Start walking after the word Ritzei, but they're supposed to finish walking before because they're not.
Well, they should be up there. Well, but we could even say Toshim Chavim. Even don't want to. Let's say Techazena Machzich Chanatzlotzion. That's fine. Doesn't matter. Point is, they got to be up there before the Shliach Tzibur says Kohanim. Now, the only question is now. The question is like this: the Gemara is saying if they weren't Oker Raglav at the time of Ritzei, then they're excluded, right?
At the moment of Ritzei, or
at the time of Ritzei.
What does that mean?
It means you're starting to walk. Make your way up. Yeah, okay. But if you didn't, right, if you didn't do that, if you didn't take a step up, then you're done. You can't do it. Well, it's amazing. The Gemara seems to imply you won't be able to duchen at all. As long as you're on your way up at the time of Ritzei, you still go out there and duchen. What's going on here in the Gemara?
That's the original Berthas.
There's no question the first step to take is going to be is that it's not a coincidence that they're going up at the time we're speaking about Avoda, right? Remember, Avoda's funny in Shmoneh Esrei because Avoda is still a Bakasha. Right, it's a bakasha, even though we finished our bakashas, because you have no right to ever say you have to acknowledge that the system of tefillah we use today is inferior or secondary, and really avodah mikdash is the key. That's true, but I think you can go further than that. So why would we penalize the Kohen for not going up there? Yeah, well, hold on, Aklar, you had to think about it. Think about it from a perspective. Imagine you're in the tzibur, okay? When they say would say, of course the idea is going to be tied to the fact that it's during avodah, but what in order? But okay. When you look around and you see the Kohanim depart their makom to head up to the front, right? What does that tell you about them now? And they are no longer right. They're differentiated from the tzibur. In other words, that's what affirms their role as Kohanim, right? In other words, beforehand, what are they? They're just members of the tzibur. But when they leave, and there's the avoda. In the Mikdash, naturally, they'd be differentiated from everyone else. They'd be in the base of Mikdash. But here, Chazal want to set up a method of differentiation to show that they're now exiting their, I'm part of the Tzibur environment, and they're now differentiating themselves to demonstrate that now we are the Kohanim. And what better place to do that than in Ritzei? In other words, Ritzei means that now they're removing themselves from the Tzibur and becoming, and now entering their role of being Kohanim. That's what has to take place during Avodah. It will be a distortion. It will be a distortion in what the idea of Ritzei is. In that moment of Ritzei, which is going to be tied to Birkas Kohanim, the Kohanim have to affirm that they are the ones who do Avoda. So that's why they have to separate themselves from the Tzibur. That's also why, I mean, we'll define this more tomorrow, but that's why they don't have to all be up there all the way. But the point is, once they're Oker Raglav, what are they doing at that point?
They're
saying, we're no longer part of the Tzibur. We're different from the Tzibur, right?